Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming right, broke a tackle, to the five, walks the dog, spikes the ball. Touchdown, Ezekiel Elliott.
Can we all relax just a little bit and pump the brakes about Zeke being a bum, being an overpaid bum, being someone the offense doesn't care about anymore? Can we just relax a little bit? Sean and RJ here, Thursday edition on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. The Cowboys ended up calling 28 runs, as you may have heard, against Tampa Bay. They checked out of a lot of them. That was Dak Prescott checking out of 12 run calls. We're going to say that's the right decision. The quarterback is in control. He's the one seeing everything. He's the leader at the line of scrimmage. If he thinks it's a bad setup to run against, number one defense against the run the last 2 years, you don't have your all-world guard up front, then throw the football, especially if you've been successful throwing it all night long, as Dak was. So all this talk about Zeke not getting carries, why not? What's the game plan moving forward? Different in the NBA. I know this isn't the case for the Mavericks because they don't have anyone else good enough to be the leading scorer. But in the NBA, on good teams, like the Lakers this year are going to have LeBron lead them in scoring one night, Anthony Davis one night, Russell Westbrook one night. Maybe it's Carmelo another night. It doesn't have to be. Why in the NFL are we pretending with the Cowboys like the one game formula is going to be the case moving forward? For once, and I said this on Monday, even though they lost, for once it felt like the Cowboys were not ramming their head into a wall saying, we are going to dictate to you. We believe in running the football, and we believe in balance, and you're just going to have to accept it because we're going to keep handing it off. No, Kellen Moore was like, let's attack on the outside. Let's protect our replacement guard. And let's take advantage of our three all-world receivers and the advantage that we have versus being stubborn to a fault. But then you have some people reacting to that game plan and saying, oh, Zeke's away. Now, to be clear, I was the first one around here to say that Zeke looks like he has lost a step. We all agree, RJ at that forefront, you don't pay running backs. None of us would have paid Ezekiel Elliott. So we haven't been the biggest fans of Zeke and how the Cowboys have rewarded him. But I'm telling you, just like we told you about CeeDee Lamb at camp, and we had a couple Tolos the other night after CeeDee had his drops say, oh, what happened to all this hype? This guy's overrated. This guy's a bum. And then those people went away when CeeDee started balling out later on in the game. I'm telling you, the same exact thing will happen with Ezekiel Elliott getting more carries. He is quicker. He is faster. He's going to be more elusive. You could see it in his little short work the other night. I think he's in the right headspace. You're not facing Tampa every week. Things are going to be fine in terms of his workload. It's going to be Dak some weeks and Zeke some weeks. And it's going to be Amari some weeks. And it's going to be Lamb some weeks. And it's going to be the tight ends some weeks. That's the way it goes. You got 16 more games to feel like you're not getting completely ripped off by Zeke's salary, even though we wouldn't have paid it. This was the right game plan to go with.
Oh, they're going to get ripped off by the salary anyway. But this is absolutely the right game plan to go with what they did last week. For last week. Now, there's going to be others when, you know, let's say it's pouring rain outside. It's 2 degrees.
Yeah.
It's sloppy. You know, who knows, right? Who knows what you want to do there? But... you know.
Yeah, 11 for 33 doesn't look good. The Cowboys fell to 0-8 when Zeke has less than 45 yards rushing. Now, you can, you know, factor that into when you have the lead or not, which many people have started to do with that stat. But the Chargers defense has allowed 4.7 yards attempt. They give a 126 to Washington on the ground. So unless the Cowboys fall behind early or they have to match with a shootout because they have no defensive lineman to rush Justin Herbert because Tank is out 6 to 8 weeks, you'll start feeling better about Zeke Elliott again is my prediction.
Look, yeah, and listen, he's going to get – now, this may not be the week to do that. You know, they got some injuries on the offensive line. But there's going to be a week out there where they're running the ball well. Like, you know, if you go back to – take the Titans, for example. They ran Derrick Henry 1 year in the playoffs an awful lot. Why? Well, he was getting 8 yards a carry. And when you're getting 8 yards a carry, you kind of all bets are off.
Yeah.
Normally, if you're a defense, you're cool giving up 4.5 yards a carry because that means that they're not getting 9 yards to throw a pass attempt. You'll trade that off. You will because it's a less quick strike. It keeps the game close. Running the ball keeps the game close, which for the underdog is a great thing. It's not a good thing for the favorite. Severe favorite, severe underdog.
Now, this still does not mean they're not transitioning this over to Dak's offense.
Right. They definitely are.
I think. I don't know that. Why do you think they definitely are?
Well, because I think McCarthy realizes that it's the way to win games in the NFL.
I don't know. All he did was talk about balance in the offseason.
Balance. Yeah, balance is good. But, you know, like when they say balance, do they mean at the end of the game? Because if you've got 30 pass attempts with 27 runs.
They've led us to believe in complementary football, complementary balanced football, and also helping the defense. That implies running it, not just at the end to kill the clock when you have a lead. I think that's the way. Now, Mike McCarthy, I think he said calling passes is more fun, but especially now with Tank gone, no Gregory. Let's see how much they try to play their complementary football that we've also, you know, had debates about.
Yeah, and I like I hate the phrase that people say, like, you know, help the defense out, because doesn't points help the defense out? And if I can score points, like, I want to score points. I don't care about the defensive rest. Like, let me score points. The Cowboys can't win games scoring 17 or right. 21. They've got to score 30.
Yeah. What was the stat that you have?
The Cowboys have lost 17 straight games when they have scored. They have not won a game scoring less than 30 points since 2018.
That's insane. They have not won a game since 2018 scoring less than 30? Like, if they don't score 30, it's a loss?
The last game that they won in the regular season, I know they beat Seattle that year in the postseason, scored 24. The last regular season game they scored, they won, where they scored less than 30, was December of 2018. They have lost their last 17 games when they did not score 30 points. That's the most troubling of them out there because, you know, like, you can't find ways to win low-scoring games. Even the Chiefs, the Chiefs last year won, like, 6 games where they didn't score 30 points.
Yeah.
Which goes to show you that, you know, you need to score 30. A lot of teams do. Like, scoring 30 is great, but you're not going to be able to do it every week. And it also means the Cowboys just haven't made plays in these games. Like, that year, 2019, sorry, they lost 28-24 to the Vikings. They had a 4th-and-1. They didn't convert. They lost, 24-22 to the Jets. They had a 4th-and-1. They didn't convert. They lost to the Patriots in a very, very low-scoring game. They had a 4th-and-short. They didn't convert. You know, you've got to make those plays to win games.
Look at this question on ESPN. Are you like, what is wrong with them? Who is more important to Cowboys, Dak or Zeke? Who allowed that to be? Oh, I swear, sometimes I'm in the wrong business, wrong position. Not the right business, wrong position. Like,
how could quarterback be the most important position in sports, yet it's different with this team?
Yeah, but not. I could see if the quarterback was a bum. Like, maybe you try and make the argument because your running back is a better player. the guy just basically should have won an NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Who is more important? What is wrong with you? Like, that person should be suspended immediately for coming up with that stupidity. Dominique Foxworth on the same network says the Cowboys may be making a shift with the offensive philosophy.
This offense, they transitioned a couple years ago from being a Zeke-based offense to a Dak-based offense. I think the most important thing that Zeke can do is, and he is great at pass pro. Keep doing that. Keep doing that and maybe get out in a route every now and then, because the league in general is not moving to a run-based system. Like, those are outside of New England and Baltimore. Like, everyone else has to throw the ball, and Zeke is not going to be the football.
But fantasy
player.
People did not draft
him. Did you not hear the fantasy people?
And Jerry Jones didn't pay him for that.
But that's true. That's true.
Much more seriously.
True. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of running backs who are great in pass pro, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't have to pay them tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So that's not what they're expecting from Zeke Elliott, right?
It may not be what Jerry was expecting, but it's clearly what Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, was expecting. If you look at their game plans from before Dak got hurt last year, and you look at this one coming up, and Vita Vea is a problem on that front. Like, I understand this is not the game to pound Zeke up the middle, but it doesn't seem like any game has been as long as Dak has been healthy.
So $15 million blocker is what they should do, according to Foxworth. I also disagree. You know, I'm not going to take their game plans from last year where they were playing a lot of catch-up and say, oh, they're going to become a throwing team. Even though I agree with you, it should be throw first. It should be throw first. I don't know if I believe that they've made that transition internally because of the way Mike McCarthy, who will join us tomorrow at 6:30, let's ask him. Have you transitioned to run first to throw first?
Well, you know, you always want to be, where are we going here? Where are we going with this?
You always want to be balanced. That's what he's going to say. You know, you want to be able to do both well. But let's see if he gives it to us. I still think because of complementary football, helping the defense, being balanced, that they're going to want to run the ball a lot. And they will run. It was one game. And Zeke Elliott responded to some of the criticism that reporters relayed to him yesterday, saying, if you know football, if you're in this building, you can tell someone can have a solid game without having the best stats. If you're the one that's saying that, then you should probably study a little more. So that was Zeke responding to some of the haters after week one.
Yeah, I got a Tolo slid to my DMs.
Oh, yeah. What's her name?
And that's a him, Jason.
Yep.
And he said, like, he picked up the blitz on numerous occasions, and they blitz like 18 times, not once they get to Dak. And he's right. Like, he did. He did a fantastic. I mean, half joking, but I'd be willing to bet that his expected points added as a pass blocker is just about the same as it is as a runner, because that's how important pass protection can be, and that's how unimportant individual running can be, because you're only gaining like 3-4 yards a clip. Well, 4 yards a clip.
Yeah.
As opposed to the ability that you have as a pass protector when they bring a blitz. And now that allows you to have more advantageous options on the outside because they're bringing more people than they have back there. And bam, all of a sudden, you've just scored a touchdown.
I really do believe, I promise you, you are going to see a faster, more elusive, better runner than you've seen the past couple of seasons. That's what I saw in training camp. And that's what I think he's going to bring. And I think he is much better upstairs as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, shots fired in return to RJ's boy, Brooks Koepka's Ryder Cup comments, where he basically moaning and complaining about his involvement and his routine that gets thrown off because of it.
Is this Paul Azinger?
Yep. How'd you know?
Because he's the type of guy that would say something like this.
Paul Azinger and his Ryder Cup history goes back more than 30 years. So he was asked about Koepka's Golf Digest interview where he said he was frustrated by the way the event takes an individual player away from what they're accustomed to doing at a regular event. Quote, "I'm not sure Brooks loves the Ryder Cup that much. If he doesn't love it, he should relinquish his spot and get people there who do. Not everybody embraces it. But if you don't love it and you're not sold on it, then I think Brooks, especially being hurt, should consider whether or not he actually wants to be there. And if you add the Bryson dynamic to that, that would be an even easier decision for him." So there's Paul Azinger saying, if you don't love it, why would you do it? Get out.
You don't love it? Leave it.
Leave it.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, I get what you're saying, Paul, but this is like not liking the setup of it is not the same with not liking it or not wanting to play or not being able to play when you get there. Not loving the fact that you've got to go to team meetings and do all this other ancillary stuff around it is not the same as not wanting to. Nobody likes to do these things. They do them because it's part of the job.
Yeah.
Except for Naomi Osaka. She doesn't do those. But everybody else does them. All right? Everybody else does these things. They put up with it, even though it sucks. We all know it sucks. By the way, we have too much access to a lot of these guys as it is. We don't need it. You know? We want it. Brooks doesn't like it. He doesn't like the fact that he can't do what he wants to do during a major event.
But is he being forced to play in this, basically?
Now, I don't know how that works.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Is he being forced to play in it?
I mean, listen, in the BMW, was it the BMW or the Tour Championship? I can't remember which one it was. I think it was the Tour Championship, the last. He hurt his wrist, okay? He took a shot near a tree, and he hit the root of a tree, and he hurt his wrist, and he had to quit. Well, he could easily say, "I'm hurt," and they would let him go.
Yeah.
You know, like Tiger Woods, like obviously he can't play. Like there's been times where he has qualified and not played because he was hurt. A lot of guys have that. So he could easily get out of this and say, "Hey, man, my wrist ain't cool." But he's not doing that. This guy's going to play hurt. So you're going to criticize a guy who's playing hurt?
He said he was good to go in a text message. Good to go physically.
Yeah.
Don't try to spin it as this PR person. You're going to criticize someone who's hurt, their wrist is banged up and he's gutting it out. He's crying and complaining about everything. I just would like to note, do you feel like you're being pressured into playing in this? And will this be like a one and done for you, for Koepka? But there is Paul Azinger. What is his reputation? America?
Yeah, he's always been a Ryder Cup guy. You know, he's huge in them. Obviously, he's an announcer for golf. I've always liked Paul.
He's Ryder guy.
He's Ryder guy. Yeah, that's a
saying.
Good Fast the Furious reference.
Right, or I was just trying to reference the golf, not Fast and the Furious.
No, you did.
Don't
you did
care
both.
Whatsoever. Nah,
sorry, all right, I really love you.
Take us inside college football before Babe Laufenberg at 8:40 on this Cowboys mess up front.
You know, if you were to look at college football and where some of these big games are going, well, first of all, the latest with USC, there is no latest with USC. They are going to wind up making a decision about their coaching situation probably by November 1st. Now, that doesn't mean that they are going to have, and they're not going to know who it is yet, but they're going to make a decision by then. But.
And Urban Meyer said yesterday, nope, wasn't even thinking about leaving Jacksonville for the USC job. So Urban trying to shut that down.
Yeah. So Urban's going to have his name thrown out there. James Franklin is. Apparently there's mutual interest.
What did James Franklin tell his team, by the way, yesterday?
Oh, no, he's just talked to the leadership council, Sean. You're going to bother with the team. So, like, there's a lot of guys that are going to be PJ Fleck, Matt Campbell, all these guys' names are going to throw up there. Chris Peterson, Bob Stoops. This is going to be basically in every other day, there's going to be a new report out there about USC because it's a major job. But shall we overreact
sure.
to college football? Overreaction number one. Jim Harbaugh will finally get his first win over Ohio State this year.
Oh, man, everything. You want to talk about obsessed? He's become obsessed with this. They're doing like certain drills that are tailored just against the Buckeyes. They have all the banners up. What are you doing to beat Ohio State today? Mm-hmm. He is 0 for his career. Troy, why are you laughing?
Because if Michigan beats Ohio State, that's massive. Derek Holland is a huge Wolverines fan. He will celebrate by throwing a strikeout if that happens. It's crazy.
Wow.
But that's not going to happen.
Well, listen, I mean, Ohio State has played two games. They haven't played particularly well in either one of them.
Yeah.
They had to come back and beat Minnesota, and then they really got pushed around against Oregon. Now, maybe that's the wake-up call they needed, but this is as vulnerable of an Ohio State team as Jim Harbaugh's had to play against.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't beat them now, I mean, you might never do it. You might never do it. Not to say Michigan's anything special.
Yeah, they're 2-0, number 25, ranked 25th.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people had Washington picked last week as that chic upset pick. Washington, the previous week, had just lost to Montana. Montana.
Mm.
Not Joe Montana. The University of Montana. So, like, they were obviously in a world of hurt anyway. So, I'm going to tap the brakes. That's just an overreaction to me on that one. Texas will not survive in the SEC. They had a good win against Louisiana. They finally go and they go and they have a road game where they were complete favorites in this one and they got completely overmatched. They looked unprepared.
Yeah.
They looked like they didn't know what the hell they were doing on offense. Their defense was an abomination. And Arkansas looks like that's a school that has always had talent and never had anyone to put it together.
You know, the thing I can't wrap my mind around that gives me difficulty in answering that question is the SEC effect. So it's one thing when Longhorn homers all tell me, no, we're going to get better talent when we go to the SEC. But then when you have Troy and the Aggies say, our program improved, like Troy, would you rather stay in the SEC for the next 5 years or have Texas and OU move to the SEC and you guys go to the Big 12 for the next 5 years?
No, stay in the SEC.
Okay.
You want to be at the party even though you're not being served drinks.
But see, that's
you still want to be there.
That's the thing we were debating, you know, when we were in Oxnard. We had a big college football debate with Brad Sham and Clarence Hill and everything. And they're like, no, real competitors, true champions. Clarence was saying this, of course, because he knew the Longhorns were already going and he's a Longhorn homer. You know, you want to be, you know, beat the best, compete against the best. So my mind is telling me, no, the Longhorns are not going to survive the SEC. They're going to get their ass kicked up and down over and over. But it feels like everybody wants to go to the tougher competition.
I mean, they do. And you know, it's going to help recruiting.
Like, would you rather Tennessee, if you could have Tennessee go to the Big 12 for the next 5 years, would you want that?
No.
Why?
It's different for Tennessee.
Like, you have no chance in your conference now. Why would you not want to go to the easier conference?
We, this is a weird flex, but we founded the SEC.
Okay.
Well,
like, it was founded in Knoxville. It is well, who we are.
Yeah, okay. Whoop-de-doo with your corny crap.
I know.
In terms of winning.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, we've won the title in the SEC when it was the top dog still long time ago.
Long time.
20 years.
Yeah.
23 years.
Okay. See, I think there's like a cool kids badge that SEC teams like to put on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Troy said, you're invited to the party. You ain't getting any free drink voucher, but you're invited in the building.
Yeah, you're playing the best of the best of the best. I mean, that's what you're doing, and that's why you're in the SEC. And yeah, I mean, A&M's not winning any championships anytime soon, even though they're paying Jimbo to do so. But, hey, you want to be in the SEC.
Well, I want to win the title. I don't understand why more people aren't seeing it my way. I want to win. You can make
well, fun that's of why the expansion is going to help, too.
You can make fun of the NFC East. Put me in the NFC East and not in the NFC West. Iron sharpens iron. Yeah. No, give me the easiest path to the playoffs so I can make my run there. Why does that not apply to college football in these divisions?
Because in college football, it's still. Now, there's a few teams that are different, but for the most part, if teams value your winning your conference first
over
the title. Like, that's the, like, Bob
over,
Stoops.
Over what title?
The national. Bob Stoops always used to say, like, our number one priority is winning the Big 12. Anything we do beyond that is gravy.
Okay.
And you that's, know, he is right because you can't.
Right, it's like winning your division.
Yeah, you really can't.
It's not like you prefer the Big 12 title over the national title.
But you really can't win the big title unless you win the little title first. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can, but you got to get pretty lucky there.
Will the Longhorns have better talent over the next 3 to 5 years because of their SEC move? Will they improve talent-wise as a program?
That's tough. I mean, A&M did. A&M did.
We definitely did.
But Texas already has historically been a recruiting hotbed where they're going to get top 5, 10. Oklahoma already has historically gotten top 5 talent. Yeah. So I don't know how much more they can improve. A&M definitely improved. They improved financially on the recruiting trail.
And that's what it's really about.
And that's what it's really about. But like A&M, look, what was A&M before they moved to the SEC?
Yeah.
They were the littler brother to Texas.
Right.
Now they're on the level. Financially, power-wise, they just got so much better. It was the smartest move I think a college program has ever made. Well, in this century at least. Like, what's a smarter move?
Yeah.
A&M going to the SEC. We forget Mizzou went. They did okay. They won a couple of East titles. So now they're in the East, not the West. Whatever.
I think, but Brad Sham says he prefer to go back to the other conference because he knows every year you are getting dunked in the toilet. Every year.
Yeah. Now it's cyclical. The SEC East used to be way better than the West. When I was in college, the SEC West was terrible. The East had Florida and Georgia and Tennessee, which were title contenders every year.
Yeah.
And the West had nothing. It had a bunch of teams on probation and a bad coach at LSU.
All right, let's get the scouting report on Justin Herbert from Babe Laufenberg, our quarterback analyst every single Thursday on the Cowboys Radio Network. Is Justin Herbert the next great thing? Let's preview Cowboys Chargers and figure out how they're going to replace DeMarcus Lawrence next with Babe Laufenberg, 105.3 The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Marcus Lawrence gone 6 to 8 weeks with a broken foot from practice yesterday. Mike McCarthy not sounding optimistic that Randy Gregory will get off the COVID list. So right now, you look like you're in a world of trouble against the LA Chargers on Sunday. Pregame at noon, Brad Sham and this man will have the call. Babe Laufenberg on the Romeo's Pizza Hotline. Get game-winning pizza delivery and takeout at romeospizza.com. Babe, the bigger loss, Leo Collins or DeMarcus Lawrence?
Wow, why do we have to always immediately go to which is worse? Can't we do a which is better question?
Which is the better loss?
Yes. Which is better? Yes.
No, because then the guy will be listening to us and say, oh, so I'm not important.
Yeah, I'm a bum.
I would say, if you pose that to me right now, I would say Leo Collins. Because, yeah, as we all know, everything's affected by it. The run game's affected. The pass game's affected. I think one of the things people sort of forget, as I do, is it really affects your play calling as much as anything. Kellen Moore had to call a different game last year than he probably wanted to week in and week out because, well, you may want to get a guy on a deep crossing and you say, hey, this will really work against their defense and what they do. You didn't have time to protect for it. So we'll see what happens. Apparently Terrence Steele will be the the starting right tackle. I love McCarthy. I was out there yesterday, and everybody kept asking about Zach Martin in different ways. Hey, will Zach play guard? Hey, will Zach play tackle? Hey, will Zach? And then finally he said that, you know, avoided the question 3 times. How many times do I have? He kind of was joking, but he was like, how many times do I have to give a non-answer? I can do it again.
Yeah,
but Leo Collins certainly hurts, and I think the thing that hurts most about that is it's an unforced error. Guys get hurt, right? Now, guys don't get hurt on a Wednesday practice. I think Mike McCarthy has to be saying, "Man, I'm doing something wrong here." Not in terms of how they practice, but he has to be saying over these last couple of years.
Babe,
this stuff just doesn't happen.
Babe, from a game planning standpoint, we've been debating this. Does it really help the Chargers out if Jerry tells us on Tuesday who the right tackle is? Like, from a game planning standpoint, does it make life much easier? They would have devoted a lot more time to going and studying Zach Martin at right tackle or, you know, Inseki?
Coaches are definitely paranoid about everything, as you guys well know. I mean, if we get to watch stretching, they say, oh, well, that they may. If the Chargers ever see how we stretch, that may be an advantage. So it's kind of crazy. Does it change things? It doesn't change things schematically, I don't think, for what the Chargers were going to do against the Cowboys. Does it change possibly that individual pass rusher? You know, is Bosa going to look harder at how Terrence Steele plays that position than if there was a question as to who would play it? Maybe. But I think that's the only thing that individually you look at from that standpoint. Schematically, Brandon Staley is going to do nothing different.
Yeah, like they probably didn't decide to blitz because Steele was going to be in there. Like they were going to do the same thing anyway.
Teams basically, it's funny. You watch a team have success. The Chargers do not have Vita Vea, so you might say, hey, I think we can overpower their guards and their center here. It's like, yeah, we could if we had Vita Vea, but we don't.
Right.
So teams pretty much stick to their concept of playing defense or offense for that matter.
Babe Laufenberg joining us here at 105 through the Fan defensively without Tank, without Randy Gregory.
Yeah.
That's obviously a hole. Tank takes up a lot of attention, and he gets pressures. He may not get the sacks, but he gets pressures. How can you, as a defensive team, as a defensive unit, how can you make up and manufacture types of pressure?
Well, the only way to do that, obviously, would be to blitz. But,
short of that.
Yeah, there's nothing really you can do. I mean, Dorrance Armstrong, it's going to be Dorrance Armstrong, whatever you want to take that as, Terrell Basham. No, they each played about 25 snaps last week. So they were on the field, but obviously that's going to probably double this week. There's just nobody there. You'd love to say, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we put a TJ Watt out there? It's like, yeah, that'd be a good idea, but we don't have him. So they're just going to have to live with it, and they're not going to get the same pressure on the quarterback, obviously, that they would have if Lawrence and Randy Gregory were playing.
What do you see in Justin Herbert?
Wow, a lot of talent. It's funny because who I kind of would look at and compare him to a little bit is Josh Allen, up at Buffalo. Both big, strong-armed guys who are both really good athletes. I think that kind of gets overlooked a little bit. Here's one for you. Last week against Washington, which we all know is pretty good defensive, at least front four and front seven, they were the Chargers were 14 of 19 on third down.
Ooh.
Now, that's about three games worth for most teams. But the 14 first downs were the most first downs on third down converted in like a decade. And I always remember John Elway would say, they pay me for third down. Mm-hmm. And it's so true. You can do a lot on first and second, but all of a sudden here comes third and five, third and seven. Of course, now it's third and one and you're still throwing. But can you convert? Can you move the chains? Can you keep the ball? And when you see 14 and 19 on third down, that's pretty impressive.
Babe, the internet and Twitter blew up over Rashawn Slater, quote, dominating the great Chase Young. Did you check that matchup out on film, and what did you see about Slater and his first game?
Well, what's funny? I have looked at – I go back. I have a little routine. But long and short, I looked coaches' tape, Cowboys offense, Cowboys defense. I've looked at the Chargers' defense, but I'm going to look at the offense today.
Okay.
So, I've looked at some highlights, obviously, like everybody and all that stuff. But today I will – so I apologize.
No, but that leads to the net. That leads to even more because the Chargers are, it's one of these teams. I feel like I don't know very, very well. I want to know about them defensively. We all know about Bosa, but what have you seen in them defensively that maybe the Cowboys can take advantage of?
Well, we'll say I really am a big fan of Brandon Staley. Who is obviously now their head coach, who was the defensive coordinator for the Rams last year, who took that defense, which was good under Wade Phillips, and really made it great. That was the number one defense in the NFL last year. They were dominating. Now, they obviously had some players, but they also had them the years before when he was not the DC. The Linville Joseph, big space-eating guy in the middle who we've all seen for years, he's not the same player, that he was. It's his 12th year in the league. That goes without saying. Impressed with the corner, Michael Davis, fifth-year guy out of Brigham Young. Of course, you have Chris Harris at the other corner, veteran guy. So I think they're solid. But, yeah, outside of Bosa, and then, of course, Derwin James, the safety out of Florida State, who's been, injured. He's been battling injuries, seems like, ever since he got in the league. Bosa and Derwin James are your two playmakers over there. But other than that, the Cowboys should be able to make some hay against them. That being said, Washington scored 16 points last week.
Yeah. How big of a drop-off do you think Heinicke is to Fitzpatrick? I know we don't have a large sample size, but one of your former teams, and then you have them playing tonight in Thursday Night Football. When the news came out that Fitzpatrick was out for 3 weeks, were you like, oh, there's a Cowboy opportunity, or you didn't think there's going to be that big of a drop-off?
I don't know. Like you say, we have almost no sample size on Heinicke. I do know this. He was with Ron Rivera in Carolina. So he has seen him. It's not a guy that you bring in. You never really see your personnel people say, look at this guy. So Ron Rivera has a history with him. He played very well last year in that game against Tampa, gave him a chance to win, but we just don't know anything about him. I'm a Ryan Fitzpatrick guy, I got to confess, and I understand people that aren't. I just love everything about him. The guy went to Harvard, the beard. The guy had a 50 on his Wunderlich test out of 50. I mean, all these crazy things. You know, he dressed up as Conor McGregor after a post-game deal. And he can be, gosh, we all know this, nobody can be hotter than Ryan Fitzpatrick, and nobody can be colder than Ryan Fitzpatrick. But so those guys really scare you because you're always afraid. We talked about the paranoia of coaches, right? You're always afraid of that guy having a hot game against you.
Have you been inside SoFi yet?
You know, I have not. Of course, the Cowboys played there last year in the opener against the Rams, but we did not travel. So this will be my first time to see it. It'll be the first time that the Chargers have fans at the stadium. And what's interesting is, you know, when you're sitting there in a market where you're competing with another team and you're in a market that's really not a football market, let's be honest. They didn't have a team in Los Angeles, a single team for 20 years, and nobody knew or cared. So I'm interested to see. I think it'll be – there will be more Cowboy fans there than Charger fans.
Might be.
I'm very excited to see the stadium, I have to tell you. And what's interesting is you go to AT&T, and I've been to all these other stadiums now, right, that have been built, Atlanta, Minnesota, trying to think of some others, but the list goes on. And you go there, and you're waiting to see the next big thing, and you go there, and you say, that's nice, but it's just a stadium. Nothing has come even close to AT&T. But going out there, I'm kind of eager to see just where how it compares to AT&T, because obviously AT&T is a gold standard.
Babe, let's go back to 1988, shall we? You were a member of the San Diego Superchargers. Who was in the games you quarterbacked?
Yeah.
Your leading receiver.
Ooh.
Well, I know this. We had three top receivers were all three rookies. Anthony Miller, a guy named Quinn Early out of Iowa, and Darren Flutie, Doug Flutie's brother.
Hmm.
So they were all young, as was I.
Way to throw him under the bus. You trying to throw him under the bus?
That was not under the bus.
They weren't ready for this route game.
They didn't know the route trees.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, an airplane. You guys see Airplane?
Oh, yeah.
You try dragging Lanier up the court. So I'm like, hey, you get your first NFL start with three rookies.
I knew it.
No. I loved all those guys. I really did. They were, you know, Anthony Miller obviously became a really good player. And Anthony had speed. And, of course, nobody remembers any of these guys probably. Yeah. But it was Jack Murphy Stadium. That was the Lightning Bolts. That was the then San Diego Chargers.
But who was your leading receiver? We have the stats quiz.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. In the games you quarterbacked.
Oh, God.
We don't want to reminisce about your – we just want you to know if you know your stats.
Oh, this is just a – I'm going to say it was Anthony Miller.
It was Anthony Miller.
Hey!
Anthony Miller had 238 yards receiving in the games you quarterbacked. Quinn Early was second with 214.
Yeah.
And then the great Lionel James.
Oh, Lionel Little Train James. Yes, out of Auburn.
Yes.
Now, you know where we got Anthony Miller from, Chop?
Oh. I assume Tennessee, but I have never heard of him before.
You really haven't?
I'm sure I have his name somewhere in this storage book of a brain that I have.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a first rounder out of Tennessee and could really run. I think he went to like five Pro Bowls ultimately.
Babe was the opening day starter that year.
Oh, suck on that, Dan Fouts. Bum. Thank you, babe. Have a great call. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Babe Laufenberg on the Romeo's Pizza Hotline. Get game-winning pizza delivery and takeout at romeospizza.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.